You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, tune in tonight, 7 p.m., to the training camp preview show live on WKYC as Jim Donovan and I sit down with Coach Pettine to talk position competition. Hear from quarterbacks Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, running backs Ben Tate, Terrence West, and many more Browns players fighting for their spot. That's tonight at 7 p.m., the training camp preview show live on WKYC. Don't miss it. And for those of you listening, streaming, because you're out of the area, the good news is you will be able to get this show on the website, clevelandbrowns.com, after it airs on WKYC. So even if you're outside the area, you can still catch the training camp preview show. Again, airs live tonight, 7 p.m. on Channel 3. Happy to have in studio with us now, clevelandbrowns.com staff writer Kevin Jones, at Mr. Underscore Kevin Jones on Twitter. What's up, KJ?
My guys, it's December 23rd. We are 2 days away from Christmas. I feel like I should open a present today. Let's get the eggnog flowing.
We should get some.
We should get some presents.
I agree.
It's finally here. Because I was hired in April. I need football. I need hitting. I need the crunching of the pads. Saturday is it. I'm so pumped up.
As the newest member of this group, you're supposed to come bearing gifts for us.
Okay. Did you forget? I didn't get the memo on that. I will. I'll go to the dollar store for you, Vic. Come on.
I like the dollar store. I'm a big fan of it. So, KJ, as you're getting ready for camp, you've written a lot of pieces previewing various positions. What's the battle that you're looking forward to the most?
You know, Pettine, really, in his interview with you that fans will hear tonight on Channel 3, it seems like Chris Kirksey is actually going to get a chance to unseat Craig Robertson. It's not the most high-profile one, but it's one that could really impact the defense. I talked to Carlos Dansby a little bit yesterday, too. He loves Chris Kirksey, the way he runs the field, the way he plays in coverage. Both those guys are going to play, but Chris Kirksey, watch him. He has a chance to unseat Craig Robertson. That's going to be an under-the-radar battle. Obviously, a quarterback. We know I've been a Johnny guy since I've been on the show here. It's really not going to come down to practice for him. I liked what Pettine said. All things equal, who gives us the best chance to win? If Johnny goes out in a preseason game and does Johnny, I think they're going to have a really hard time saying that he's not the starting quarterback.
I hope they have that hard a decision. I hope he goes out and does exactly that. That's what he was brought here for. I want him to just blow the whole thing up once he gets out there and starts playing and going against competition, because I think, again, the practice Johnny is a different guy than the game Johnny.
Can I say this about Mike Pettine? He is so transparent. Covering Mike Shanahan last season, it was so secretive. We didn't know what the Redskins were doing. Mike Pettine comes out and says, week three, we're going to have our starting quarterback of the preseason. Week three, we're going to name pretty much every starter. We want to have our nucleus. It's there on the table. We want to have chemistry. Vic, so many other coaches in the past are secretive. What do you think about him being like this?
It's refreshing, and I think it does speak to a bigger issue that we've talked about, the three of us and others, about what Mike Pettine will be in his first year as a head coach. We had Nate Ulrich on yesterday, and he thought one of the real key storylines is how Pettine, as a first-time head coach, handles being a first-time head coach. And usually there's that sense of being overwhelmed because you're being pulled in different directions. You've got different issues crossing your desk than you had before when you were just focused on one side of the ball. And I think he's ready for this. My sense is, you use that term transparency, he's comfortable enough in his own skin to talk about a schedule that coaches treat like secrets in the Kremlin.
It's true, and I like that about him. I think it's refreshing. I think it's one of the things that's, in fact, very refreshing about Mike Pettine, and I like that he's comfortable with it, and why wouldn't you be that way? He knows he has the plan he wants. It's not giving away competitive advantage to anybody. This team, he's got a way he wants to see this thing play out, and that's what he's going to go for.
You know why he is comfortable, and he told me this in our sit-down yesterday. His players are buying in, and he can sense that and feel that. In the classroom, he told me, they threw a lot of graduate-level stuff at these players that they expected – them to struggle with in minicamp and OTAs, and the players really did well, especially defensively. So he feels confident. The workout regimes here were some of the toughest the players have seen. They pushed through it. He has a good sense of his players really respecting his message. It's completely new, so that's why he is confident going into September.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we're going to have – our eyes are going to be in so many different directions. Yeah, I know the daily focus will be the quarterback position, but we're going to take a hard look at many other spots. Running back will be high on that list. And I think it's interesting, a day after he was put on this non-football injury list, Terrence West, that he even showed up on that, which strongly suggests that you didn't get through the whole conditioning drill so well. But today he comes off of that, and probably because he ran very well for this team and it's in his conditioning test, or better than the, or at least above the prescribed minimum. But, I mean, I think from a mindset standpoint, hey, I want Terrence West to understand that this is for real. Ben Tate is not giving anything up, and this kid better come ready for bear, ready to fight this.
A piece I wrote earlier this week kind of broke down the running backs, Cleveland's running back since 2008, and Kyle Shanahan, the way he's treated running backs. And a lot of people think Kyle Shanahan, oh, he's a one guy, a one-back guy, Alfred Morris the last couple of years. No, in Houston – 1 year with the Texans, Steve Slayton, Ryan Moats, whoever was the hot hand he was throwing in there. So this isn't automatically Ben Tate wins his competition. He's starting 16 games. Terrence West wins the competition. If one of them is struggling at any point, we could see a shift in who starts. And don't even count out Deion Lewis and some of these other guys. Kyle Shanahan is going into this with a very open mind. Whoever's going to get yardage and keep the offense moving, that's who's going to play running back.
And I think there are going to be enough carries for both West and Tate, one of them is quote-unquote the starter. I think that this is going to be a team that's going to run the football and run it a lot. KJ, as you look at this team on the defensive side of the ball, the secondary, one of the deeper positions, we're going to get into kind of our look and preview at that position later in the show today in the second hour. How do you kind of see that breaking down, and what are your expectations for who will be out there early in the season?
My eye to start off is on Tayshawn Gibson, because Dante Whitner plays such a unique style where he's gambling and taking chances and big hits and going for an interception, and Gibson is clearly the last line of defense. So he's going to have to use training camp as sort of a gauge. How do I read how Dante plays? Because that's going to affect how I play. Him and TJ Ward are similar players, but Dante Whitner will tell you, look, I'm going for the big hit. I'm going in there trying to get the football. So that's really going to alter the way Tayshawn Gibson has to play. 5 interceptions from him last season. The bar is set high for him. If he is not living up, we're not going to say interception numbers, but there's pressure for him to perform too. Cornerback-wise, I think Buster Skrine has a firm hold on this. Justin Gilbert needs to show consistency. The physical tools are there. I don't know if he's not – I don't think he's going to start. We'll see. He's not – I don't know how to phrase this correctly –
you're saying he's not going to be ready.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be ready to start.
Terms.
And I think we could see someone else at the nickelback too. He has a lot to show me. I think he will. He could, but he has a lot to show me.
If what you're saying is true, and we saw the similar issues, if you will, we had similar concerns through the offseason, guys, right? When we watched practices and saw in Justin Gilbert a guy who certainly didn't look ready to start. But my question is, how much ground can he or will he make up? Because he needs to. If you talk about pressure on somebody, I don't know that anybody carries. I'm going to go as far as to say that more pressure on him than Johnny Manziel, as the 8th overall pick, as the guy that the Browns decided to take instead of Sammy Watkins at number 4, because they still could have done something possibly trade-wise or maneuvering-wise to get the quarterback later. But they went ahead and made that move essentially for that guy. And that was Mike Pettine's big play. So this guy, he put himself out there to get the right fit for his defense. And I don't know if it's acceptable that he wouldn't be ready to start. I think he's got to show enough to – when you don't start a rookie cornerback, there's a lot more going on that I think from a ground makeup standpoint that I don't know you could say, by midseason it'll be okay. No, you got to come out of camp showing if you got it.
Right. You guys call me crazy for this. I said he might be the kick returner because he's not going to be starting. And remember, at Oklahoma State, he set records for kick returning. Last year, Cordero Patterson with the Vikings, first-round pick, took a couple of kicks back. So if he is not ready at cornerback, let's at least use this guy, get the football in his hands, maybe a couple big returns. Maybe that could get him juiced up and amped up to play corner better. So right now, I'm a screen guy over Gilbert. We still have 3 weeks. My mind could completely change. I'm open-minded, just like the whole Browns coaching staff.
Do you think right now when they trot out the 3 corners and the nickel, who would they be in your mind?
I guess Gilbert now, because they want to give him a chance to
and let
him make mistakes and prove to them that he's worthy. I think Pierre Desir is going to be a special teams player this year
for the most part. He is not ready.
Yeah.
Now, he's clearly not ready. I'm not expecting much there.
And I don't think
like
the Browns –
shirt year for him, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's going I to like be him. Very –
his size is incredible.
I'm talking in 2014, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Trufant is a Pedant favorite. He's very small and scrappy. There's a lot of competition to be sorted out there and a lot of reps. There's still 15 defensive backs on this team, so –
And again, we can't emphasize it enough, or at least I don't think I can, that in this defense, the style of defense, these DBs are on an island. These DBs need that's to right. hold their own.
And that's what Screenplay is better at. You know, it was a lot of zone last year, so this system seems to fit him. I know I'm higher on him than most covering the team, but Buster Screen right now, to me, is the second corner on the outside.
He's come back far from where he was. I'll give him that, and I saw it last year. And again, I liked his offseason. What everybody – you saw in Buster Screen what a lot of us see every year and like. There's an aggressiveness, a willingness to challenge. All those things work out. But then there comes a point where he'll draw the flag that you don't want him to draw and do it over and over again. And to make up for the fact that his size doesn't match up with the bigger receivers that he faces, I think he gets a little too handsy at times, a little too physical. So it'll be interesting to see how this coaching staff maybe coaches him around that sort of stuff, where other coaching staffs did a little, you know, Louis Chalfie last year, they did a decent job with that. But I think he is what he is. I think the max of what Buster Screen is an overachiever.
I think that's fair. And I think he could be the max of what he is. I think could be one of the top 10 slot corners in the NFL. I think he could be a very good nickel corner. And I think it's similar and dissimilar at the same time, you know, to the Hoyer Manziel thing, where Brian Hoyer kind of in similar way, Buster started a lot more games than Brian Hoyer in the National Football League. I mean, that's not even close. But whereas I think that they will have a stronger sense of urgency to get Justin Gilbert out there ahead of Buster Screen. When that gets close, I think it'll be a little more patience with the Johnny Manziel side.
Right.
I know you don't like that. I'm just saying that's what I think will happen.
Hey, you guys gave your top three Browns earlier when I was listening.
Yes.
I will do that now. Joe Hayden, number one in a throwing league. Joe Thomas, number two. And call me crazy here. You guys will believe this by the end of the season. Carlos Dansby, number three. He's going to change things that much in the middle of this defense.
So you wouldn't put Josh Gordon on that list.
So he's not on your top three.
I mean, okay, yeah, he is until we figure out what's
going on. Well, that's what
we said. That wasn't the qualifier.
I missed that part.
Okay, no, going into the season.
Well, we both had him.
He's automatically number one. But
right. Okay, so now how does that change two and three? Give me your final
list. But that puts Dansby like right around where I had
Dansby. Two?
No, he had Hayden two, Thomas three. So we have the same three. And then where do you go?
Hayden and Dansby.
Dansby is going to change this defense, especially after watching film of DeQuell Jackson last year. He is such a bigger presence in the middle.
Oh, he's got to be. That was the whole – yeah, and not just the coverage aspect, but making plays, pursuit to the ball.
I have him leadership. Number five. I had Alex Mack number four and Dansby number five. I think Dansby's
a top five guy on this team.
Browns fans are going to be obsessed with him. I'm calling him. He's going to be that good. They're all going to be getting his jersey.
I saw you all were hanging with him in the cafeteria the other day.
He's smart.
Hanging with you?
Well, that, duh. But he's been around the league, and he's someone I love to pick his brain.
I think he has that influence and that special impact. There's no disagreeing with that. Again, he better be, Kevin, because they made a big investment to bring him here. This wasn't a small – you can't have – with him, with what you had with Paul Kruger last year, you can't have what looks like a dud. And until Kruger proves otherwise, that was a bad free agent investment last year.
I will say this. He has his hyperbaric chamber flying in from Arizona, Carlos Dansby.
Oh, yeah.
And he has all of his food already prepared in the refrigerator downstairs.
A lot of bison.
He's
bison now because of him?
You know, he's got me on a workout routine. 75 push-ups every night. He wants to get me jacked. That's part of his time here in Cleveland.
We're not seeing much result. When did you start this?
Oh, that's harsh, Notorious.
No, but the shirt's a little loose on him.
Vic, come on now.
That's how
we'll take this outside, okay?
Let's
prove it.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, so 75. What else has he got you doing?
Yeah.
We're starting slow, okay?
That's a good start.
I can't do abs. It gives me gas. I'm not going to lie. It really does.
What?
I'm dead serious.
Abs
do not do any abs in this studio. Now, you know,
now hold on. I'll tell you this, though. If you were to talk to Carlos Dansby, he would tell you that if you were eating the proper diet, you would have no gas.
Sari Melman diet.
That's right, the Melman diet.
Apparently, some of the coaches are getting on that, too.
I know.
And they're losing weight.
My wife wants to do it now.
It's the new fad.
No gas.
It's the Atkins diet of the 2010s, if you will.
That's funny. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, we're going to have to start charting your progress.
Just
when we
do
see
abs
you
by yourself.
Jacked up. And
I can't, because then it's embarrassing.
You can
I do it by yourself.
Right. If you're in a room by yourself.
It's uncomfortable. It's like painful. You know what I'm talking about.
So do planks.
I don't want to know what you're talking about.
You can do other things for your core. We've got him on planks.
We've got much more coming. Thank you. And Kevin Jones talking about gas. And we've got much more coming up. The president of the Browns, Alex Shiner, hopefully. Won't be talking about gas at
about 2 p.m.
Go
on a limb that he won't.
Let's go on a limb. And
he's going to talk about the fact that I'm a man of leisure in his mind.
He probably will. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford.